This is the message from Connection Community Church for Sunday, May 31st, 2026. Prayer, the extraordinary invitation. You are invited to yield.
Thank you, Rachel, for sharing that story. We've had some great stories on prayer throughout this series, haven't we? And if you go on our YouTube channel, you can see all those stories are kind of put in their own little playlist. If you missed any of them or you want to review some of them, there's just been some great testimonies throughout this season. So check that out. Today is our last Sunday on this series on prayer. We've talked about prayer for the whole month of May. And when we talk about prayer, we try to emphasize this so that you get it every week. Like, when we talk about prayer, we are talking about nothing less than the extraordinary invitation to the extraordinary life with God that you were created for. Seriously, what an amazing opportunity to communicate and walk with our God, the God of the universe. So that's what we're talking about. And today we finish up with the last letter, the letter Y. I'll talk about that in a second. But let's just go ahead and do what we've been doing each week. Let's pause and pray the Lord's Prayer. We're going to pray each line slowly. And we're going to pause after each one. Are you ready? Let's pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Pausing is hard. Even when Emily was preaching last week, I was jumping the gun. So I get it. It's hard to pause. Oh, thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you, Lord. So let's talk about prayer. I want you to picture this. It's a chaotic time. It's a chaotic crossroads in Israel's history. You know, the Old Testament is all about the story of God's covenant people, Israel. There's a lot that happens. And at this particular moment, this story we're looking at today, you could call this a chaotic crossroads. When God begins to intervene through the desperate prayer of a woman who wants to be a mother. And in this story, once she becomes a mother, she completely yields her son into the hands of God. It's remarkable. So this woman named Hannah lived in the final days of the judges. And during that time, it was said, in those days, Israel had no king. All the people did whatever seemed right in their own eyes. In those days, God finally raised up a new leader who'd pave the way for the next era, okay? And this lady named Hannah, when we meet her, she's heartbroken and just really downcast after years of being ridiculed and put down for being unable to have children. And one day she went into the tabernacle to pray. And in desperation, it says she just poured out her heart. She poured out her soul to the Lord. And she made this vow. Lord Almighty, if you will only look on your servant's misery and remember me and not forget your servant, but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life. And she prayed with such anguish there that the priest named Eli, who was like on duty serving in that place, he thought she was drunk. He thought she was inebriated because she was just praying so desperately. And but when he understood what was really going on, he blessed her. And it turns out that God answered her prayer with a yes. And Hannah bore a son. And then once he was weaned, very early age, she returned to Eli, dedicated the boy to the Lord, and he remained there to grow up and serve in the house of the Lord, minister there all the days of his life. So this is how we meet the character Samuel. Have you ever heard of Samuel? It's a big character in the Old Testament. Two books named after him, 1 and 2 Samuel. This is how we meet Samuel. This is his backstory. His name means heard by God. It's a really good name. And Samuel was the last judge, which is a term for leaders of Israel during this time period, just a leader of Israel. He was the last judge and one of the greatest prophets of Israel. He's the one who raised up the very first king, Saul. And when Saul failed and that kind of tanked, Samuel went and found, with God's direction, really the greatest king of Israel, David. He anointed David. So Samuel's this major character. But today's story happened when he was still a young boy, still growing up in the service of the Lord at the tabernacle here. And so in this story, 1 Samuel chapter 3, we get one of the greatest stories of listening prayer in the Bible. I don't know if you've heard it before, but this is just a delightful story and so powerful. So if you have your Bible, you can open up to 1 Samuel chapter 3. The words are going to be on the screen too. Let's just look at what happens here with this amazing character. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the house of the Lord where the ark of God was. Imagine growing up, and instead of a bunk bed and a nightlight, you have the lamp of God and the Ark of the Covenant to keep you company. What a place to grow up. What a place to spend the night. Wow. Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and he said, "Here I am. You called me?" But Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." So he went and lay down. Again, the Lord called Samuel. And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me?" "My son." We can infer his tone at this point, I think. "My son," Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down. Go to sleep." Now, Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. See, Samuel became a prophet, regularly heard from God, walked with God. So, a third time, the Lord called Samuel. And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood there, calling as at the other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel said, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So what a story. What a great story. What a prayer. Hold on to this. "Speak, Lord. Your servant is listening." Put that in your pocket. Take that to the bank. Hold on to this prayer. We can learn a lot from little Samuel and his mentor Eli here. "Speak, Lord. Your servant is listening." Now, if you read further in this story, the message Samuel gets from the Lord is not an easy one. He had some bad news for his mentor Eli. But Samuel listens, he yields, and he grows to become a great leader of God's people. Even more, he becomes a friend of God. He walks with God. So today, we are coming to the final part of this series on prayer. Like we said, we've looked at this simple acronym. It's a tool to help us grow in a life of prayer. P-R-A-Y. If you've been here, you've heard about it. If it's your first Sunday, here's just a little recap. You can get a bookmark on the way out that has these a description of each step, because this is a way you can pray for as much or as little time as you have in your prayer time each day. You know, you can sit down with your journal. You can do it on your own. You can join with others and use this tool. It's simply a way to help us grow in a life of prayer as Jesus intended it. It's based on really the movements of the Lord's Prayer that we already shared. So P stands for pause and praise. R stands for repent. A stands for ask. Emily talked about that last week. And finally, we get to today's word, yield. yield. Not always easy or fun because you're like, I want to go, but you have to yield. We'll talk about it. Yield. And yielding to God is such a critical aspect of prayer. If we engage in these other types of prayer, but we miss this component, we neglect this, we could almost miss the whole point. Because yielding is where it becomes a conversation. Listening, responding. If we miss that, we kind of miss the point. So it's really important. I think John Eldridge said it well. He said, what God is after is a person so yielded to him, so completely surrendered, that his or her heart is easily moved by the Spirit of God to the purposes of God. Okay? See, Samuel at first, he was new to this. He was new. He didn't get it. It didn't happen easily, right? He didn't understand what was going on. It took time and growth. But God wants to bring us to this place where we are walking with him so naturally that we can easily be moved and yielded to his will and his kingdom. You get it? Prayer is a big part of that. So if thy kingdom come and thy will be done is like the heart of prayer that Jesus taught us, right? If that's what it's all about, if this is the extraordinary life that we are called to, then we are desperately dependent on God to lead us. How are we going to know how to live like that if he doesn't lead us? I don't know the way. I don't know what I'm doing, God. Like, I really need you to guide me. If that's what you're calling me to, your kingdom, your will, I don't know. I'm going to have to depend on you, right? Right? But how can we follow God if we're not hearing from him? And how can we hear from God if we're not listening to him? And how can we listen to God if we're not seeking him? And how can we expect God to direct us if we don't really have a heart to yield to him in the first place? Like, if I'm not going to listen anyway, should I expect him to speak? If I'm just going to go my way anyway, is he going to keep? We've got to have a yielded heart to the Lord. How many people are entrusted with responsibility and influence of any kind, small or great, even people in the church? And yet we go through our daily lives more or less doing what we think is best in our own eyes. That seems like a good idea. I'm just going to do it. And then every once in a while, I'll check in with God and be like, could you please bless this plan, Lord? And that's just kind of what life looks like. Right? I've been guilty of that. They did what was best in their own eyes. Seemed like a good plan at the time, God. Never really checking in and being like, Lord, what's the plan here? Would you set the agenda? Compare that with the great leaders of faith. Still flawed. But examples, people that were called friends of God, Abraham, Moses, David, all the way to Jesus, the Son of God, the way he modeled it for us. How did they live that yielded life? What did that look like? Look at this example from David's life. I love this. It's so simple. It's almost funny. 2 Samuel 2, in the course of time, David inquired of the Lord. By this time, he's a ruler of Israel. He's a leader. He's been anointed king. He has this responsibility. And so it says, David inquired of the Lord, shall I go up to one of the towns of Judah? He said. The Lord said, go up. David asked, where shall I go? To Hebron, the Lord answered. So David went there. Huh. Simple. Okay. You know, there weren't many good kings of the people of Israel. When you read the scriptures, the totality, many of them got it wrong. But the good kings did have one thing in common. All of the good kings inquired of the Lord. You can page through Chronicles, and it gives you this, you know, telling of this king and this king, this king. And the good ones were the ones who they would inquire of the Lord. They'll go, Lord, what should I do with this kingdom you've given me? Huh. It's so simple. Why do we make it so hard? Maybe this was rare in the days of Israel, this kind of thing. But when you read the whole Bible, you look at the whole story, you look at how it culminates with Jesus and the church, it becomes obvious this is the kind of relationship God wants with all of us. This is what God wants with every one of us, every one of his children. He wants this kind of relationship with us. Adam and Eve were designed for friendship with God, walking with God. And Jesus came to restore that. He came to restore that. Look at his invitation to us. It's just one example. He says to the church in Revelation 3, "Here I am." You've heard this before. "I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me." God wants fellowship with us. Relationship, right? And the only way to have that is through conversation, through times where we stop talking and we start listening. This is where yield comes in. So if this is the case, is what God wants for us, is what the Lord saved us for, why does it sometimes seem so hard to hear from God? Anybody ever have that feeling where you hear somebody, like in our prayer story today, and they talk about, "Oh, I heard from God," and you go, "Well, that's nice, but like God doesn't ever talk to me like that." Anybody ever feel like that? Go through a time like that? Maybe right now, you're like, you know, that's just for the special people. He never talks to me. Why is it so hard sometimes? Dallas Willard wrote a spiritual classic. The book is called Hearing God. I recommend it. It's a good book. And he reflects on all of this. What does it mean and how do we grow in hearing from God? Why is it sometimes hard for the average Christian to feel like I have that kind of relationship with God where I'm listening and he's speaking and directing, and what's that about? And so Dallas said, we have a tendency to reduce prayer to a transactional enterprise. We want it to be like a cosmic ATM, okay? Or a vending machine or a crystal ball. And we want to just give our input and get an output on our terms and our time. Here's my money, give me my stuff, you know? And that's not how God does it, because God is relational. He wants so much more than just a transaction. He wants a partnership throughout your life with you. Dallas calls it developing a conversational relationship with God. Isn't that good? Think about that. God wants us to develop a conversational relationship. That's basically what it means to have, you know, prayer without ceasing. Praying without ceasing is a conversational relationship with God, a conversational friendship. It's a lot different than an ATM. You can see how this is challenging for us right here in Samuel's story, going back to 1 Samuel 3. You can kind of see how this can play out. You know, Samuel in this moment as a young person got what so many of us beg for. Like, "Lord, if you would just speak plainly to me, like just give me the, just say it. Like, just give it to me right there. Put a sign in the clouds or just flash it on the screen. Like, if you just talk to me, Lord." Samuel got that in that moment. God just went, "Hey, Samuel." But what happened? Samuel couldn't recognize it at first. He had never heard from God. It took time for him to realize what was even happening. That's how it goes with us. It actually takes practice, in a sense, to hear from God. It can take a sense of like trial and error, of ongoing experience to recognize God's voice in all the ways that he speaks to us and directs us. A child is not born with the capacity to hold a conversation with her parents. It takes time and growth and experience to recognize their voice, to understand, to communicate, to obey. It's not so different with God, with our relationship with God and our capacity to kind of hear, walk with him, communicate. It takes time learning his word, learning what he's revealed. It takes time recognizing his voice in the ways that he speaks to us. It takes time in the community of God's people, growing with our brothers and sisters, our mothers and fathers in faith. And it takes time that some of us are never willing to really give, with the result being that we're not really attentive or yielded to his communication. You know, God will on special occasion give us a burning bush kind of moment. You know, burning bush like Moses. Sometimes, occasionally, that kind of thing will happen. It's shocking. It's unforgettable. You cannot miss it. But the whole point of that burning bush is to get us into a daily walk with him so that we're able to listen and respond to his often still small voice. God's desire as we mature is that we become aware of the simple daily conversation. You have milestones where you go, that was unforgettable. That changed my life. But he wants it to be followed up by just a daily, ordinary, I'm learning to listen to your voice, God. As I read the scripture, I'm listening to your voice. As I quiet down and grow in this life of prayer, I'm receptive to how you want to direct me today. I'm learning when you speak to me to trust it and differentiate and discern it so I can respond it. And then I put it into practice and I go, oh my gosh, that was actually God. Listen, it's where we can grow and begin to differentiate between the voice of our flesh. Oh, that's me speaking. That's my flesh speaking. That's my sinful nature speaking. That was just sinful. Or the voice of the enemy. You know what? That's just an outright lie. I thought that was from me. Nope, that was a total lie. That's the enemy. Versus the voice of truth. His voice. Because it carries that holy weight that we've become accustomed to when he directs us. Because it aligns with his revealed will in scripture. Because we've come to know by experience the fruit that comes from yielding to that voice. You see, it's growing, it's experiencing, it's coming to know him more. And then go, oh, okay, that was God. I'm just going to trust this. I don't even understand it, but we're just going to follow through. Okay, Lord, you know? And he wants it to become an intimate fellowship, a natural daily conversational relationship. And that's why sometimes it's hard to hear. Because he's not always going to be like, hey, wake up. You know, he doesn't want all that to do. He wants it to be a relationship. When I'm at my best moments parenting, instead of just being like, get with the program, you know, just shouting at him like, come on. Like, I sometimes realize that if I'm quieter, or if I even just whisper something, they stop and pay attention and they have to lean in and be like, what'd you say, Dad? And sometimes that's what God wants from us. He's not going to just burn it out there for you. He's going to go, hey, would you just listen? And we can miss it. Samuel could have missed it. He could have just gone to sleep and been like, well, that was weird. You know, he could have missed it. But it's this opportunity to respond. That's the walk. And that's not all. Along that walk, we will need mentors. We will need the community of faith. We will need the brothers and sisters. We'll need an Eli sometimes, a lot of times. We'll need Eli's in our life, models who are further along, who can help guide us, help us understand, who can help us test it. You go, you know, I feel like God might be saying this and directing me in this right now. Could you help me understand this? Could you pray with me? And they'll go, yeah, let's pray about that. You know what? I think that rings true. I'm in agreement with you. Or you know what? I feel like God might be telling us to slow down with this decision, right? We need mentors. Eli wasn't even that great of a role model. You read about his story, and there were some problems, but he knew enough to be able to give this crucial piece of guidance to Samuel. And he goes, oh, this is God speaking. Samuel, here's what you need to do. This is so good. Speak, Lord. Your servant is listening. Mm-mm-mm. God wants to hear that from his children. God wants to, oh man, he wants to hear everything. He wants to hear you pouring out your heart. He wants to hear what you want and what you need. Pour it out to him. But he really would love to hear you say, speak, Lord. your servant is listening. He's like, I'm so glad you finally asked. Right? Do you know what that feels like as a parent? I'm so glad you finally asked. This is going to make it so much better for you, son. Honey, this is going to make it so much better for you now that you just stopped and asked. Let me show you the better way. Let me show you what I think would be good. This word listen in the Bible is more than just hear. How many of you know you can hear something and be nowhere near the proper response? I can hear a fire alarm. That's not the same thing as responding appropriately. Yeah? So hear in the Bible oftentimes means this a fuller sense of hearing and obeying. Have you heard the word Shema before? This Hebrew word Shema? It really implies to hear and obey, to understand and follow through. Shema is the word we use to describe the greatest commandment in the Bible, Deuteronomy 6, where it says, hear, O Israel, Shema, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength. Shema. So that same word, Shema, listen, is what Samuel prays. Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. In other words, I'm ready to hear and obey. I'm willing to yield. I'm willing to yield. Oh man, to understand that from a young age like Samuel, to catch that when you're their age up front here, I like this section up here. Hey kids, we got a good section over there. Any other kids in the house? Any teens? Any young adults? To catch that now will change the course of your life. But it's also never too late if you're still breathing. Remember the word repent from week two? You know, we can always say, okay, I need to realign with you, God. I'm going to give you a yielded heart because that's the way. Yeah. Well, the goal is that we would become attuned to his presence and his guidance and just kind of give him a blank check. Okay, Lord. Whatever you want to write in that box, here it is. Here's the light. Here's my life. There's really no other way. Here it is. Blank check, God. Giving you my life. I like to call it a preemptive yes. Just have a yes in your heart. Like just commit and just say, Lord, it's going to be yes. And then do it again the next day. Lord, whatever it is, the answer is yes. How many of you know that's sometimes the key to a happy marriage too? I think that's actually a joke. That's a joke, but still. Lord, it's a joke, but mostly. Whatever it is, Lord. The answer is yes, Lord. Yes, 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 yield, yield. Proverbs 3, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding, in all your ways submit to him, yield to him, and he will make your path straight. Yes. Kids, get it now. Catch that now. I think back on moments of my life, moments of decision that changed the course of my life, and I'm sure sometimes I missed it. I know sometimes I miss it. I had to take the long way around, but sometimes by God's grace, I got it. I think of this story. Pivotal moment. Emily and I, we were high school sweethearts. We did it all through high school, all through college. It was years and years and years, and we were ready to get married. Like, come on, let's just get on with it already. We used to sing that song from the Beach Boys, wouldn't it be nice if we were older? Anyway, we were ready, but I didn't want to just go with my feelings. It was a big decision, right? So I was like, I'm waiting on you, God, for the timing. I know this is it. But Lord, I want to know when. And she was very frustrated with me because I just kept saying, I don't know. I'll know when the time is right. I'll know when the time is right. How about today? I will know when the time is right. It was stressful for a college kid. I'm not going to lie. You guys know Emily. She's very persuasive. But I really felt like, okay, God, I want this to be your timing because my feelings are really loud. But I want to know when you say it's right. And if you tell me to wait, I will wait. And if you tell me it's now, then I will follow through. So I just, Lord, in your way, your timing, you're going to give direction, and we're just going to keep this holding pattern. And it came when I was not looking for it, when I was not expecting it. We were serving together on a youth mission trip. We were like youth interns in a ministry in Mechanicsburg, PA. And we went on a mission trip with these students to the Bronx, of all places. We were there for a week in the Bronx. And we had this host house where we were staying at night and doing projects and stuff during the day, right? And one evening during our downtime, and see, I was taking summer classes to speed up to graduate with her, so we could get there sooner. So you know the picture. So I'm working hard doing summer classes, and she sees me there like in our downtime. I'm doing some summer homework. I'm probably working too hard, making it look too hard, to be honest. And she's like, "Hey, how can I help you?" She just walks up, sits beside me. She grabs my book. She's like, "Here, let me read it to you." Okay. And while she was helping me not pay attention to my homework, I looked at her, and out of nowhere, deep inside, I felt this nudge from God saying, "It's time. It's time. Green light." I'm like, "This is you, right?" "Yes." "It's time. It's time." The peace that surpasses understanding. If you've experienced this sometimes, the peace that surpasses understanding just made it clear. I'm like, okay, there's no other way. So within a week, we were engaged, ready to go. God will speak to you in his way, in his timing, if you wait and trust, and if you're willing to yield. If you're willing to yield. Sometimes it's external, sometimes it's internal. Sometimes it's an image, a vision, a dream. Sometimes it's a word, a phrase that he puts in your mind. Occasionally, I've known people have testimonies that they have heard on occasion, an audible voice, like they heard him speak, right? Sometimes it's just an impression, a sense with no words. But he will speak. He will direct you if you're seeking. And we always need to test it against his written word. Okay, personal words from God will never contradict his revealed word. That's important. We also need to seek the wise counsel of the community of faith he's placed around us. Those Elis, those mentors, to help test that sometimes when we get direction, okay? It's a process, it's a journey, but God wants us to grow in a conversational relationship with him, not just for our sake, but for the sake of his kingdom, all right? Listen to how Dallas Willard described this in his book, Hearing God, that we talked about. He said, this is really cool, "Individually, the disciple and friend of Jesus who has learned to work shoulder to shoulder with their Lord, stands in this world as a point of contact between heaven and earth, a kind of Jacob's ladder. Thus, the disciple stands as an envoy or a receiver by which the kingdom of God is conveyed into every quarter of human affairs." That's an extraordinary invitation. So the goal of this whole series, church, has been to inspire us to see the power of prayer and to equip us a little bit with this walk, to walk it out wherever we are in our walk of prayer and however far along or earlier we are on in our relationship with God. But we're trying to inspire and equip here so we can be these people that God wants us to be. And this year, we're going to launch more prayer groups. We want to start more prayer groups in our church family. We want to increase the ministry of our prayer teams. We're also going to be forming a prayer leadership team this summer to oversee our prayer ministry at Connection. And so looking ahead, there's something else to look forward to. A lot of you know this is our 25 years this year. We're 25 years as a church family. And this fall, we're going to have different times of celebrating that. As we conclude that, as we step into the next 25 years, starting next year, we're going to start something called Prayer 365. Prayer 365. And for the next year, you're going to be able to sign up for different days throughout the year where we can take shifts to take just an hour to pray for our church and our community each day. So that our goal is throughout the whole year, every single day, at least one person would be praying for the church and the community for 1 hour. Wouldn't that be awesome? Covering it in prayer for the whole year. So watch for that. We're going to have opportunities to follow through with this stuff. If any of this interests you, if you feel God is tugging on you, if you feel drawn to this ministry of prayer, There is a direct way to yield and get involved. Those prayer cards that you received from week one have a QR code on them. It's what's on the screen right now. You can scan this code. We'll just collect your info and you can say, hey, I'm interested in prayer ministry at Connection. There's a lot of different ways. You can even pick, here's how what I'd like to do. And we will just follow up with you and say, hey, here's how we can get involved. You want to be part of the prayer leadership team? Here's how you can get involved. Scan that and follow through. Because when God's people live a life of prayer, we will see the kingdom of God in tangible ways. You can see it in scripture, promised there. You can look throughout church history and find in different times and seasons, even in the world today, you will find places and stories and testimonies. When God's people take this invitation seriously, the kingdom of God shows up in a way that's undeniable. I want to give you one last story to finish out this series. One last story. This is an extraordinary story. Do yourself a favor when you have some time and Google the Hebrides revival and just learn a little bit about this historic time. Here's a quick story of it. On these small islands of Scotland, an archipelago called the Hebrides, it was in the late 1940s and early 50s in the wake of World War II. Devastating wake of that, it still had a cloud that hung over much of the world. There were two elderly sisters who looked around at their community on the island and they were heartbroken by the spiritual wasteland they saw around them. Churches were empty. Young people were nowhere to be found. Struggles were everywhere. And at 84 and 82, Peggy Smith, who was blind, and her sister Christine, who was crippled with arthritis, they couldn't even make it out of the house. They could hardly get to church. But they had faith, and they knew the power of prayer. So they knew that they were not powerless to change something, to do something about it. So they began to pray in earnest. They felt this unction from God to pray about this condition they saw in their community, that it would change. Several days a week, for hours at a time, they prayed together that God would bring revival to their community and reach the next generation, reach the young people. They prayed specifically. They prayed using the promises of Scripture. They prayed with faith. One night, after doing this for some time, they felt like God revealed to them that it was coming soon. And so then they mobilized their little church and the pastor, and they said, we need to start having prayer meetings together. So several days a week, this church would pray together in a barn. Sometimes the meetings would go late into the night from 10 p.m. to 3 a.m. They'd be praying. And they just grew this sense of earnestness, this unction, this holy burden to keep praying that God would bring a breakthrough, that God would change what was happening around them. God kept directing them, and it came to the point where they felt like they needed to invite someone to come and do some ministry for a couple weeks, kind of have a revival time, a meeting, right? And so they invited this evangelist named Duncan Campbell. You can read all about this history just by Googling it. He'd come preach several weeks, kind of do that thing, right? The turnout the first night was pretty eh. Okay, meh. Nothing really special seemed to happen. But this group felt like God was telling them, hey, we need to stick around and pray some more tonight. Let's just lean in. Let's pray some more. So they prayed late into the night once again. And this is where it gets really extraordinary. As they left that meeting late that night, it seemed that God literally changed the atmosphere on that island. He just changed something. He just broke through something, just tore something open. Because they walked home, they went home, they drove home, and they found, over the course of several days, people all over the community, people on the roads, people in bars, people in prisons, people in their homes, all of a sudden felt this explicable awareness of God's presence in such a profound way, they felt driven to just repent. The next morning after this prayer meeting, people just showed up to the churches. There was no invitation. They just flocked, like dozens, hundreds of people from across the community just flocked to churches, ready to just give their lives to Jesus. I wouldn't even believe this story if I didn't read it, this stuff. There's hundreds of accounts. They've done studies on this, and you can read people's testimonies. It's like God just responded to this moment of prayer in his own sovereign will and said, now's the time. Tore it open, and people turned to him. There were waves of this revival for years in this community that utterly transformed the community to the point where nightclubs shut down. Prisons started to be emptied, and young people devoted their lives to ministry. the point is, all of this started with two women, two elderly people who thought they didn't have a lot to offer, praying, taking God up on the invitation, and being like, okay, Lord, we're just going to take you at your word now, and we're not going to give up. It started because of that. This is not the only story like this throughout the history of the world and the church. Not even close. What would it look like? What could happen if I believed that I could pray like that too? If we believed that we could pray like that too? And if this doesn't stir your soul, then here's what I want you to pray. Lord, would you increase my desire for this? Sometimes that has to be my prayer. Lord, give me a bigger desire for prayer. I want it like that. And if it stirs your soul, then start walking it out. Let's become a people of prayer. Let's become a church of prayer. Let's increase our commitment to this, because everything else is going to flow from there. This is the extraordinary invitation. And I'm just at a place, I've been in a place for a while, where I'm just willing to learn and wait and do whatever it takes to find out. Lord, could we see something like that here? Even a fraction of that, God? And you're telling me if I would just begin to pray with my friends? God, I want that. Today's the day to begin that in your heart and in your life, for your family, for your community. So let's begin to pray together. And our worship team has the perfect song to close us out, where we're going to be turning this prayer into the cry of our hearts, into a song to the Lord. Spirit of God, come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We're going to sing that. And as we sing that, as always, our altar space is open. And if you want to come and say, Lord, I am asking that you would give me the holy burden, the holy unction for prayer, to make me like Peggy and Christine, or even just a fraction of that, Lord. I'm praying today that you would give me that increased desire. Or Lord, I have not been inquiring of you and looking for your direction in my life. And I want to become a person of prayer today who lives in a conversation with you. Come and meet with him and take that step today. I just can't think of anything better we could do with our lives. I can't think of any better plan than to say, God, we are going to be people of prayer, because we know you promised to do great things through that. We yield to you, Lord God. We pray that your spirit would move in this place. Draw us out. Draw us out of our indifference and out of our fear and out of our doubts. Draw us out of our failures and out of the times that we get stuck in because it didn't go the way we thought it should. And just refresh this journey of prayer, of walking with you today, God. We want to be those people. And we're so excited to see what you're going to do, Lord. Father God, lead us. We are your children. We lift it up to you in the mighty name of Jesus. God's people say, amen. Amen. Let's worship him.
Thank you for listening to the message from Connection Community Church. For more information and to find out more about our ministries, you can visit us on our website at justshowup.church. You can also call our church offices at 302-378-7692. Thanks again for listening. Connection Community Church, connecting people to Jesus and the new life he offers.